We are continuing our ongoing series about the life of Abraham, talking about what it means to walk by faith. Open, if you would, please, your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. This is maybe the most famous Abraham story in the Bible. Genesis chapter 22. Let's go to the Lord and just ask for his help as we look at his word. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is the truth of God. Help us to receive this as what it is, as your truth. I pray that you'd give us faith to believe what you've said, not just to believe that these things happened, but to trust in the God who is Lord over all these things. I pray that you'd give us obedience. Help us to obey you well. In light of what you've said, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. This text is about how God tested Abraham's faith. At the very beginning of Abraham's career with God, or his life with God, God called him to go out into a land that he didn't know about, and Abraham did that. And now, after Abraham has walked with God for many years, with some highs and some lows in there, at the end of Abraham's story with God, towards the end, there's this really dramatic test of Abraham's faith where God calls Abraham to go even deeper with him, even farther with him. To be even more resolute in his fear of God and his faith in God, his trust in God. And there are times when our faith is tested too, right? There are times when God calls us to go deeper with him, to trust him more fully, to trust him more resolutely, to turn over to him even more of our lives, to trust him with another aspect of our lives. Sometimes those times come when we have doubts, when we have questions about God and about his plan and why he allows things to happen that we don't understand, or maybe doubts about philosophical or theological questions, intellectual questions about what's true and what's not true. Those are times when our faith is tested. Sometimes our faith is tested when we have a personal crisis, when something unexplainable happens or something really tragic happens in our lives, and we have to decide at that point, am I going to hang on to God in the middle of this, or am I going to let go? Sometimes our faith is tested when we face temptations. There can be something out there that's really beautiful and really alluring, but we know God has said, that's not for you. This is wrong. Don't go for it. And we have to decide at that point, are we going to chase after that thing that's really alluring and really beautiful, but is not what God has for me? Sometimes our faith is tested then when we face temptations. And then sometimes our faith is tested when God has called on us to take another step in our walk with him, and just to go deeper and to go farther. God has put a ministry in front of us or a challenge in front of us, and he said to us, you can do this. Go for it. Rely on me and take a step forward. And we have to decide, am I going to step out with God, or am I going to stay where it's comfortable? The text that we're going to look at, as I mentioned, is Genesis 22, 1-19, about how God tested Abraham's faith. And after I read this, we're going to talk about these three things: how God tests our faith, how we can pass the test, and whether it's worth it. So let me read the beginning section of this, and we'll talk about how God tests our faith. Genesis 22:1. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he answered. "Take your son," he said, "your only son, Isaac, whom you love, go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Let's pause there. At this point in Abraham's life, he's come a long way with God. You know, God had called him from his homeland in Mesopotamia, you know, modern-day Iraq, the land of Ur, and said, "Go to a land that I will show you." And Abraham stepped out in faith. Now, I know that if you lived in Iraq today, you'd probably want to get out, but in around 2000 BC, that was a pretty good neighborhood. And so he had to give up a city of prosperity and step forward with God and go to an unknown place. God gave him amazing promises. He said, "I'm going to give you land. I'm going to make you great. I'm going to give you descendants, even though you're really old and beyond the age of having children. And your wife is too. I'm going to give you an heir, and I'm going to make you into a great family, and I'm going to use you to bless the whole world. You are going to be my instrument to bring God's blessing to the whole world." And Abraham had stepped out, and he had walked with God a long time. He had had some victories in faith, and he had had some major flub-ups in faith, some failures, but God had been faithful through it all and had prospered Abraham. At this point in his life, he's an older man, quite old, you know, like more than 100, 120 or something like that. I can't remember exactly. He's very old, but God has prospered him. He's a rich man. And if you can just imagine, like a Saturday afternoon in Abraham's life, he pulls all the donkeys out of the garage and opens up the garage door and grabs a lawn chair and plops down in the driveway, pours himself a lemonade, and he looks out in the yard, and in the distance he sees his son Isaac, you know, playing with the new camel, and Abraham is reminded, you know, God gave me this son in my old age. I love this son. He also gave me Ishmael and then sent him away, but this is the son of promise. This is the son through whom God will fulfill all his promises to me. He will make me into a great nation, and he will bless the whole world through this son. And I love him so much, and it's so beautiful. And Sarah's, you know, back in the house making Mediterranean food, those little grape leaf appetizers and couscous. Ron's laughing at me because I find a way to mention food every sermon. I'm sorry to do that to you right before lunch. Sarah's making baklava. It's really good. So, and Abraham's just sitting out there on the lawn thinking that life is good right now. And then God speaks to him. "Abraham, here I am. Take your son." Which one? The one that's gone? The one that's here? "Your only son, the heir, the one you love, Isaac." Okay. "And go to Moriah and sacrifice him to me as a burnt offering." What? Did I hear you right, God? Could you possibly ask me to sacrifice my son to you? Is that even something that God does? I know that some of the Canaanite religions tell people to offer their children as sacrifices, as offerings, but could my God actually call me to do that? Could the one true God, Yahweh, the Lord of heaven and earth, could he possibly call on me to sacrifice my son? Could this even be real? But as he remembers God's command, it's unmistakable, it's undeniable. Take your son, your only son, the son you love, Isaac, and offer him to me as a burnt offering, as a sacrifice. And this is heart-crushing to Abraham. This is devastating. And if you think about your children, I mean, of course, your children, whom you love more than anything else in the world, you know, how could God take your child from you? And for Abraham, it's even more than that, because God has promised him wonderful promises, and all these promises will be fulfilled through this boy, and now God has taken him away. And how could God possibly do that? I don't know about you, but my reaction when I read this is almost too much. You know, I can hardly stand to read this account. This is too overwhelming. It's too drastic. And a lot of questions come up in our minds when we read this. And the one that comes to my mind, and I don't know about you, but like how dare God ask someone to do this? This is beyond the pale. Is God capable of doing this? Is this okay for God to do this? This sounds to me like almost abusive, right? That God would say, sacrifice your child. And if you are feeling those things, I want us to put off the answer to that question until we read the end of the story. Because if you read just this little section, it's hard to wrap your brain around it. It's hard to let your heart go there. But we need to put off answering that question, is this okay for God to do, until we know the whole story. But I will say that if this is shocking to you and to me, it was no less shocking to Abraham to have this command from God, offer your son as a sacrifice to me. What God asked of Abraham was to give his everything to God, to give the one thing that he loved more than anything else in the world to God. That's how God tested Abraham's faith. He said, Abraham, give me the one thing that means to you more than anything else in the whole world. Give me the thing that you love more than anything else. That's what I want from you. It's interesting when you look at the New Testament, when you look at Jesus, Jesus also asked people to give up what they loved most in the world in order to follow him. You remember the story about the rich young ruler? And he says, you know, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And there's this back and forth between Jesus and this guy. And then you come to the end of the account, and Jesus says, okay, good, you've checked all the boxes. Now go sell all your stuff and follow me. So here was a guy, the thing that meant most to him was his wealth. And Jesus says to him, give up your possessions to follow me. Now Jesus doesn't say this to everybody, give up your possessions to follow me, but to this guy, he says, give up your possessions to follow me. Jesus was able to pinpoint in that man's heart what meant the most to him, and he said, that thing give up. And then if you look in the Gospel of Luke, to chapter 9, there's this interesting series of encounters that Jesus has with several different people. This is Luke 9:57. Jesus talks to three different people, and for each one of these people, he says to them, give up the thing you love the most. Look at verse 57, Luke 9:57. As they were traveling on the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus told him, foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. So here's somebody who values his comfort, his home, his cushy life. And Jesus says to him, you got to give that up to follow me. You got to give up your comfort to follow me. Verse 59, then he said to another, follow me. Lord, he said, first let me go bury my father. But he told him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and spread the news of the kingdom of God. So here's somebody who's the thing that means the most to him is his duty towards his family. He's a good person. He's a dutiful son. He fulfills all his obligations that the culture and his family put on him. He's a good guy. And Jesus says to him, you got to give that up too. I have to be more important to you than any other duty that you sense, even these high duties towards your family. And then verse 51, another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go and say goodbye to those at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. And Jesus is saying to this guy, I've got to come before even your family to you. Now, family's not a bad thing. God gave us our families, right? But Jesus says, I have to mean more to you than even your family. So Jesus finds the thing in each of our lives that mean more than anything else. And Jesus says, I have to mean more to you than that. Come after me. You know, follow me. Jesus said, you need to take up your cross daily and follow me. If you want to gain your life, you have to lose it. And for the earliest Christians, there was a very real possibility that following Jesus could mean getting kicked out of their house, getting disowned by their family, or even losing their lives. And Jesus wants them to know that and to say to Jesus, you're worth it. I trust you to provide for me in spite of that. You mean more to me than any of those things. Jesus asks us to entrust everything to him, to entrust our greatest love to him, the thing that we love more than anything else in the world, and to follow him. When we come to faith in Jesus, we entrust our eternal souls to him. We entrust our life to him. But there are times in our walk of faith where God asks us to go deeper, to go further, to surrender a very specific area of our lives to him. Like, we entrust our lives to God in general, but then sometimes God says, here's a specific thing that I want you to trust me with. I want you to give this to me. I want you to entrust this thing that you love to me. When I finished college, I sensed that God was calling on me to go serve him overseas for a time, and I had an opportunity to do mission work in Argentina and South America, and I was so excited about it and ready to go, and I looked forward to the adventure, and I looked forward just to having a chance to serve the Lord and be used by God. And then as the time drew near for me to get on the plane, like, it just hit me like a ton of bricks that my grandmother was ill and frail, and I might not get to see her anymore. Because, you know, I would only get to come home once a year or something like that. And could this be it? You know, would I'd have to leave her behind? And God had to work in my heart where I was willing to give up even that great thing to go follow him. Now, the Lord blessed me with more years with her before she passed away after I got back. But he had to do that work in my heart to draw me towards being ready to follow him with everything that I had. I think with some of our missionaries, and I've heard this before with several of the families that we support, the opposite can be true too. that they can be on the mission field and they're used by God and they're on the front lines of God's work and it's very exciting and they've settled into the country and the culture where they're serving. But then back home, they have aging parents that they have to take care of. And there's this command, you know, honor your father and your mother. And so they have to give up that life where they're on the front lines and go back and take care of their family because God has called them to do that. And I'm not going to, I can't get into the specifics of you with you of when does God call you to go or does God call you to stay? Does he call you to make a change or does he call you to stay put? But in those things that God calls us to, he often calls us to believe, to trust him, and to deny ourselves and do that, to take that step or to stay planted. And we need to trust him with something we haven't trusted him with before. Sometimes God says to us, you've given me your eternal soul. Now trust me in a greater way. Trust me in a deeper way. Trust me with something specific. You've given me your life, but now I want your budget. I want your money. Or you've trusted me with your money, but now I want you to trust me with your schedule. And sometimes it's more specific than that. You know, you've entrusted me your Sundays, but now I want your Mondays. I want you to serve me on your Monday morning. Or you've entrusted me Monday through Friday. I want you to trust me with Saturday night. You know, trust me with your whole week. Sometimes he says, you've trusted me with your money, you've trusted me with your schedule, but I also want you to trust me with your romantic life. You know, like sometimes that's something that we hang on to and we don't want to give that to God. Will you trust me with your love life? Or will you trust me with your anger? Will you hand that up? Will you hand that over? Will you hand that over to me? Because a lot of times we say, oh, I'm trusting God, but you're hanging on to your bitterness and your anger about things that have happened to you in the past. And God is saying, forgive, give that up. And we're like, I don't know if I'm willing to give up that anger, to give up that bitterness, to forgive those people. But God is calling us to do it. He looks for something else in your life and he says, give that up to me now. Sometimes we have to trust God with our doubts. Are you willing to hang on to God even when you can't make sense of everything intellectually or philosophically? Are you willing to hold on to God? Are you willing to hold on to God in the time of crisis that you have right now, where there's tragedy in your life and things don't make sense? Are you willing to hold on to him and not give up? Are you willing to hold on to God in times of temptation and say, God has said no, I'm going to trust him that what he says is better for me, that he can be enough for me and I can deny whatever is tempting me? God calls us to deeper, farther, more specific faith. Now let's read about how we can pass the test of faith, and I'll pick up where we left off. This is back in Genesis, Genesis 22, verse 3. So Abraham got up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took with him two of his young men and his son Isaac. He split wood for a burnt offering and set out to go to the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there to worship. Then we'll come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac. In his hand, he took the fire and the knife, and the two of them walked on together. Then Isaac spoke to his father, Abraham, and said, my father. And he replied, here I am, my son. Isaac said, the fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. Then the two of them walked on together. When they arrived at the place that God told him about, Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood. He bound his son Isaac and placed him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." He replied, "Here I am." Then he said, the angel said, "Do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your only son from me." Abraham passed the test. So how did Abraham pass the test? Abraham passed the test by trusting in God all along the way, by doing what God said. He proved that he trusted in God through his radical obedience to God. That's how he passed the test. That's how he proved his faith, through radical obedience. The next morning, he gets up, right? Saddles the donkey, cuts the wood, gets the servants, gets his son, and says, "Come on, we're going." He got up and obeyed. He did what God said. And you notice that the conversation that Abraham had with the servants when they reached the foot of the mountain, he said, "You guys wait here with the donkey. Isaac and I are going to go up to worship." And he said, "And we'll come back to you. We'll come back to you." What's going on there? The book of Hebrews says that Abraham trusted that God was able to raise the dead. And so Abraham was willing to go through with what God said and trusted that even if Isaac died on the altar, God would be able to raise him up. That's the kind of faith Abraham had. And then as Abraham, you know, he takes Isaac, he takes the firewood, he says, "You carry the wood, Isaac." And Abraham grabs the knife and the I guess maybe it was a bucket of coals, you know, the fire. And they're walking up the mountain, and Isaac says, "Okay, we've got wood, we've got the knife, we've got the fire. Something's missing here. You know, where's the lamb?" And Abraham, listen to his faith in his answer. God himself will provide the lamb. Abraham didn't know how, if it would be Isaac or some other intervention. But Abraham was trusting that God would provide what God required. Abraham trusted in God's provision. And they keep going up the mountain. And they reach that dreadful moment, you know, where Abraham had to tie up his only son that he loved and put him on the altar, and he reached for the knife, and right before it was too late, the angel of God shows up and says, "Stop. Don't touch him. You've proved your faith to me. God knows that you trusted me, that you were willing to give me even your son and your whole future. God knows that you trusted me with everything." And God provided for him. Abraham passed the test. He passed the test by trusting in God and proving it through radical obedience. And when our faith is tested, we need to trust God too. And we need to obey him. We need to prove that we really believe God, that we really are trusting God through obeying him radically, you know, in a reckless obedience to God. When we face doubts, we can trust God and keep on hanging on to him. When we're in the middle of a personal crisis and the temptation is to let go of our faith, we can hang on to God and believe that even in this tragedy, even in this crisis, God is caring for me, and he's going to see me through to the other side, and he's going to meet my needs, and he's going to work it out. All things will work together for good. When we face temptations, we can obey. We can run away from the temptation and hold on to God and know that he's going to give us what we really need, what's really good for us in the long run. Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And whoever wants to save his life has to lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. When we give up our life to God, we find our life. It's worth it in the end. God gives it all back to us. But it's the daily taking up the cross that's difficult, right? Not just today, but also tomorrow and then the day after that. So Monday, I take up my cross. Tuesday, I take up my cross. Wednesday, I take up my cross. But that's what the life of faith is, taking up your cross daily, surrendering to God something else, but trusting that he's going to take care of you and you can walk with him. I want to ask the question now, if it's worth it to entrust everything in our lives to God. And to answer that question, let's pick up where we left off. Verse 13, Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering in place of his son. And Abraham named that place, "The Lord will provide." So today it is said, "It will be provided on the Lord's mountain." Then the angel of the Lord came to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, this is the Lord's declaration, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your only son, I will indeed bless you and make your offspring as numerous as the stars of the sky and the sand as the seashore. Your offspring will possess the city gates of their enemies, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed by your offspring because you have obeyed my command." Abraham went back to his young men, and they went together to Beersheba, and Abraham settled at Beersheba. So when Abraham was willing to give up his son Isaac, God stopped him from sacrificing the boy and provided a substitute in Isaac's place, you know, the ram caught in the thicket. God didn't allow Abraham to sacrifice his son. He didn't ask that from Abraham. He asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac on the altar of his heart, but he didn't ask him to actually sacrifice him on the altar. However, when it comes to the way that God loves us, he actually did give us his only son. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love towards us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Abraham didn't have to give his one and only son to God, ultimately. God didn't ask that. But when God wanted to prove his love for us, he did give us his one and only son. He went through with it. He offered his son. He offered his life. And Jesus went willingly. You know, Isaac carried that wood up the mountain, not knowing what was ahead of him. Jesus put the cross on his shoulder and walked to Gethsemane knowing full well what was ahead of him, right? He carried his own cross. He went willingly. Jesus said, "Nobody takes my life from me. I give it freely." It's not abusive. It's not wrong. It's perfectly right that God was willing to sacrifice his son for us, that the son was willing to give his own life to please the Father and to win our salvation. That's how much he loved us. And so when we face times when our faith is tested, And when God asks us to give up something that we love, and we ask, is it worth it or not? What we can do is look at the cross and see, you were worth it to God. He loved you that much. He thought you were worth it. He was willing to give his son for you. And he did it. And so we can know that he's absolutely worth it to us. God raised him from the dead. And we have life with God forever and ever and ever, right? To look forward to. All things will work together for the good of those who love him. If God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how then will he not also give us all things? Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you just for the amazing sacrifice that you made for us, and we're floored by it. We're blown away that you were willing to give your son for us. We can't imagine. And thank you that you have done what is required for us, that you do for us what we can't do. We want to trust in you right now. No matter what we're going through, we want to trust you with it. And I pray for your people here today. Many of them have struggles. Many of them are facing really hard times. And I pray that you would show them that hanging on to you is worth it. And that you, I pray that you would sustain them and meet their needs and give them back many times over what they've given to you. Thank you that you've promised that you will. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.